Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my goodness. I'm back on the air. Let me put some people in to make sure I'm being heard. 8177,
yes,
you on the air?
You're being heard. An irritated Judy
okay.
just sent a text that he's online right now.
Okay, let me explain to everybody. This happened without us having nothing but putting the show on. I believe this show is going to be very hyped because this is the first time this has ever happened where they would just have me on the air. They couldn't explain why my show would not go on. I just asked them. They put me back in the air. This show must be very serious. This has happened before, y'all. I told you we talk so much about people who come on our shows and say how they're targeted. Individuals might be heard that they don't want to be heard, depending on what kind of information is being said out there. I'm looking for my brother's number, but this show going to be hype tonight. It is a war on the horizon, and I tell you, everybody and every one of us are involved with it. You can, in or unknowingly, pretend like this is not happening, but yes, it is. America is not America. It is the North American Union. I've explained that for everybody. Anybody who wants more clarity, you just go and look at your borders, and they are wide open. That means you are no longer. That's like escape from New York. When they want to close them, they can. When they don't, they'll let you know something. But tonight, I'm looking for the brother. Hopefully, he'll be calling in soon so I can get him on here. I got my sister here.
Dry Bones? He's on extension 1734.
1734. There we go. Okay, I'm going to bring him in shortly. I'm going to bring him in. Give me five more minutes, I'm going to bring him right in. But I'm going to explain his organization. It's called War on the Horizon. It's an organization designed to prepare African people worldwide for survival in the 21st century. As a race of people, we are under international threat and an active program of genocide, no doubt, eugenics. If we do not prepare to defend our interests and those of our future generations, we will, in fact, the same fate that the native people, and he has in parentheses as the red man and woman of the Western Hemisphere faced in the 19th century genocide. And he goes on to say that the sex, white sex term is a coined by Pan-African community to describe the psychological European thoughts and actions to provide deep insight into the European thinking and primary social references to the point of which analyze the European culture. Now, he has a website called War on the Horizon. I'm going to have to really go fast so we can take the time that we did not have to do what we wanted to do. But let's just say this, everybody. Y'all had Dr. David Himmeltep. Color on this side of the continent is not an issue any longer. We all know these people had pigmentation. So that is not a debate. So don't call in talking about the people over here were black. Yes, they were black. If you want to use pigmentation as the term black, yes, they were. Okay, most of us look just like some of the people who were there at that age. So that's, I'm considered red if you want to go there. So let's not get into that debate. Tonight we're going to talk about the psychological warfare used through sexual deviancy and through sexual torture, pedophilia, pedastry. I heard this before, but I'm going to let this brother come on because he's been waiting, and let me get him on here. A friend of that who was connected with the Dry Bones Connection family, he's a genie, but he's irritated. Brother, we have you on the air, irritated genie. I'm so sorry for the delay, but I have no control over this internet. Thank you for coming on tonight, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic, and don't fret at all, brother. It's been so many times over the course of the last 10 years or so that we've been trying to do things, and we already understand when we're doing something serious, they're going to be roadblocks in the way. We just got to move right on through them.
That's right. That's right. I like that mindset. But, brother, I'm glad to have you on the air. I met you through a mutual friend of mine from the ATL, and she's on the air as well. I know she's stuck in the B-Lo, our hometown, but she stays strong and made sure this show go on. I appreciate her as well. But let me ask you, man, give the people who may not know who you are and may not have an idea of what your position is, give them a little outbreak of what you have been doing over the past some odd years, which I can see you've been doing some diligent work. Go ahead and give them a little bio of what you're about.
Yeah, basically, I joined the Pan-African organization right out of college, really right before I graduated college in 1994. And there were some strong brothers in Washington, D.C. They were some, you know, brothers, very intelligent brothers, but brothers from the street. So they were intelligent, but they were strong brothers. These brothers that would fight, you know, they'll stand up for their rights and stand up for their person. And I was attracted to the organization, and one of the main attractions was it was non-religious based. It was based on helping black people fight racism and bring ourselves out of this miserable condition we're in. And one of the other things that that really stood out to me was that, in specific, one of the topics of conversation, which I had been having since I was about 15 years old, that I could only really have with other sisters who would tell me that they had been sexually abused. But these brothers had experienced knowing sisters that had been sexually abused as well. And when I found that out, they were talking about this is something that we got to stop from happening. So at the time, I did not know it had anything to do with racism. I didn't know it had anything to do with homosexuality. I just knew that we needed to stop people from molesting black girls. And I thought it was a black problem with a black origin because I didn't know anything else about it. But these brothers were talking about it, and it was something I found passionate about because I had talked to so many sisters who had experienced sexual abuse, and I realized it was a problem, and they were saying it's a problem too, and they wanted to do something about it, so it was like a perfect match. after some years of studying it and going out to speak on it, one time the brother asked me after about 3 or 4 years to, after 3 years in 1997, to speak, to introduce him while he was going to do a lecture on called Predators in Our Midst. And the lecture was about the sexual abuse of black children. Actually, it's either that or the feminization of black will, one of the two. But anyway, I decided to do some research. And again, I thought that there were two or three pedophiles in the world that were molesting children, and these were some creeps that you find hanging in the bushes that are doing this stuff. And I went online, and the first thing that popped up, because the Internet had come out, so I figured I'd do a little research on the Internet, and this story of Zeus and Ganymede came up. And it was a story of the Greeks and their god and the worship of their god that was a pedophile. And then I started reading about Plato, who thought that the only type of love that a man could have would be for a little boy, that there was no such thing as a love between a man and a woman, that being in love was a grown male raping a little boy. And I was dumbfounded because I was like, I'm thinking I'm going to find two or three guys molesting children. And so I began to search because I was like, well, this is talking about Europeans being pedophiles and homosexuals and this being part of their culture. And I began to do the research, and it blew my mind. But I was searching for the connection between that and our people, and that's when I ran across a movie called Goodbye, Uncle Tom.
Right.
It talks about
good movie.
The writings that the Europeans wrote about during slavery, the atrocities they would do to African people. And the sex farms and the breeding farms and things of this nature. So once I saw that and realized that, wow, homosexuality and pedophilia as culture was introduced to African people through European and, as I studied longer and further, Arab invasion, and I began to say, oh, now I understand. There's a hidden side to racism that's not often talked about where the European sexually violates the group, particularly the males and the boys and the children, the women as well, but we kind of knew about them raping our women. But the hidden part about raping the children and the males and then infusing European culture into your culture and creating cyclical sexual dysfunction in families that was going over hundreds of years, I didn't know about that. And once I found that out, long before we got to where we are today, I would say back in 97, 98, 99, I was seeing the sexual situation that we're in today where they're pushing pedophilia, where every commercial was homosexual, where the music is entirely homosexual, where our children are being pushed into this. You go to the junior high schools and high schools around this country where they're black children, particularly the black ones. Usually over 50% of the boys are homosexual, or you would think that they were homosexual by the way they're acting. They're certainly effeminized. And probably upwards of 60 to 70% of the girls, depending on what jurisdiction you are in the country. And so, and of course, some places it might be more like 30%. At any rate, it's alarming, this epidemic. And mm-hmm. I began to see this, though, in the late 90s, because once you understand the tentacles of racism, white supremacy, and you see the bigger picture, particularly once you see the sexual aspect of it, it begins to open up other aspects of religion, the culture, the music, the entertainment, everything. You begin to see everything. And once I began to see everything, I began to see what was coming and to try to prepare black people to prevent our undermining at the hands of Europeans through this sexual assault. We began to do DVD lectures. We began to do books. We began to teach people what they were trying to do to us and what they have done to us in a way that was tangible, simple to understand, that everybody from 5 years old to 55 can follow and understand, so that we can prepare ourselves to do battle and protect the interests of our people.
Well, let's take it from that. Let's take it from that perspective right there, to do battle. Now, the concept of what that means is that there is an assault on the sexual principle. We've been finding out, and a lot of scholars, I have to give homage to those who put the research in years ago, Dr. Neely Fuller, in the 70s, when many of us was in grammar school, if not born yet, was saying this, that we'll be in dresses. And this is actually the teacher of Dr. Francis Quest, Weston. So what we've been seeing is a progressive movement, if you may say, in putting this agenda out there, and to the point where right now they're using so much of the Hollywood imagery of that. You mentioned pedastry. I've heard that before as well. Give me what you think that this pedastry type of rulership, which is what it is, that's at the high level of the Vatican. Wouldn't you say that is what the Vatican actually, ideology-wise, is of pedastry?
It does. And if I can, to take it back so that we can really get an understanding of how this worked and how deeply rooted homosexuality and pederasty, which is really what we would call homosexual child molestation of a grown male and a little boy. It's called pederasty. It's a term that comes from ancient Greece. If we go back and do the research, and I'm just trying to put this into a context when you talk about it from a religious perspective, religion is the highest expression of culture, meaning when people take their culture, what they do, and they elevate it to a high form, and then they create what we call a religion or spirituality, which is them saying that the Creator created them to do this. So they magnify their own culture, and they see it as something divine. So if we look at the earliest times, Europeans did not have religion. Africans did. And when Europeans came into Africa, they saw that we had the male deity and the female deity, the god and the goddess. There was no god without a goddess. There was no goddess without a god. We saw a balance. If you go to Kemet now, which we call Egypt today, you will see the temples dedicated to the goddesses, and there'll be gods in there. Dedicated to the gods, and there'll be goddesses in there. They all had complements because we realized that there was a balance of the male and female energy and principles on this planet and this universe to create life. It's just a basic fundamental thing. We have a mother and a father. Now, our ancestors' earliest spiritual story was a story of an immaculate conception. It was Asar, who was a man. He was born simultaneously with his wife, Aset, the goddess, and he had an evil brother named Set. And the brother, long story short, tricked him to come into a party. He was jealous of him. He murdered him, cut him up into many pieces, and sprayed his body throughout the Nile. And his wife was so saddened to find out that her husband had died, but she loved him so much, she went and found all 13 pieces of his body. She did not find the phallus. That's the one piece she didn't find. But she wrapped his body back up, put him in white linen cloth, and the love that this woman had for this man and dedication for him was so overwhelming that his spirit came alive. And his spirit impregnated her, and she got a child. Now, it was called an immaculate conception because it was not a physical touching, because he was physically dead and he didn't have his phallus. What it meant was that the ramifications of it were pretty simple, that if a man picks a good woman, that even in his physical absence, that woman has the nurturing ability to produce life and raise a child and a nation in his image, even in his physical presence. So all of his intellect, his wisdom, his strength, his courage, she can nurture a nation in that image, even in its absence. So talk about the power of the black woman. At any rate,
right.
She raised the child, Haru, and he went to avenge his father's death and defeated his evil uncle Set in battle, restored the kingdom to balance, and he was known as the Savior, the resurrected Savior, the Immaculate Conception of Haru, who was the Savior, the hero, which the Haru, which is where we get the term hero from. So
mm-hmm.
when the Europeans came into Africa and saw this story, they saw an Immaculate Conception. The god Asar, the goddess Aset, and the child Haru. And the god and the goddess were equivalent. When they came to Africa, they came with the idea that the only kind of love was a man with a little boy. In fact, Plato said, pederasty alone is capable of satisfying a man's highest and noblest aspiration. And the love between man and woman, when spoken of at all, is altogether inferior. It is a purely physical impulse whose sole object is the procreation of life. In other words, a male has to be with a female to produce life, but for a white male to be in love and move spiritually, it's a sexual contact with a little boy. When the Europeans right. came in and saw that the great civilizations of the world, which were in Kemet in Africa, were all based on man, male and female, they began to start taking the ideas we had. One of them was religion and spirituality. And originally, when they created their first church, if we remember their first Christian church, it was God the Father, Mary, Mother of God, and then Jesus, the Son of God. And so
yeah.
the problem with that concept for Europeans is that they had a misogynistic hatred toward the female, and they did not believe that the female should be on the same level as the male. Hence, they said, what we need to do is change this to fit the homosexual, pederastic culture of Europe, which is a grown male having sex with a little boy. So what they did was they said, we're going to remove the woman out of the Immaculate Conception story because we don't believe that women are spiritual. And now you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and they need something to replace the female with, and that's where we get the Holy Ghost. It's something that's
right.
made up to remove the woman from the spiritual story. Then they go a step
spiritual
further.
Story.
They create a religion, the Roman Catholic Church, remember this, that says the highest spiritual position you can raise yourself to is the priest or the pope. The one thing that a man in that position cannot do is do what, brother?
Yeah, can't create.
They can't be with a woman. They cannot marry a
yeah.
woman. They cannot have sex
can't
with a woman.
Create.
But
can't
we know,
create.
But we know them, right, but we know them traditionally to rape little boys. So what they
right.
did was create religion in the image of their homosexual, pederastic, pedophile culture. So that was a long answer to your question.
Because we had so many difficulties with getting on the show, everybody who knows that we shot our shows knows that from every show you have listened to, the spirit of the Maya, which is tonight, we always going to bring that in because we want truth tonight. We want justice tonight. We want harmony tonight. Going to have some balance. We're going to have reciprocity because we must know how we got to this condition in order. And then that righteousness will come out all of us. And that is the whole principle of what the brother was talking about, the female principle that has been destroyed. But it's symbolically given out in mysticism all over the courtrooms and all over the secret orders that the woman is at the justice of all in their statues. They know this stuff, my brother. I think they know a lot more sometimes than we even think. But they seem to suppress it in either way. Now, let me ask you a few more questions because, like I said, we're going to get more heavy as we go into this. Do you see a movement that has been brought in by the Pan-Hellenistic society that has created these Greek sororities? Don't, and many will probably say they don't, but does that not promote the same agenda?
They do, and this is how, to the very fundamental basis is the identity. Of course, we know that traditionally there are some very positive things that have come out of the different so-called Greek fraternities at the black colleges and other colleges around the country. But the reality of it is, if we look at it from a very simplistic formula, the beginning of all things is knowing that self. You have to know that self in order to analyze the rest of the world. For Africans who were invaded by the Greeks and whose culture is diametrically opposed to that of the homosexual, pedophile Greek culture, to call ourselves Greek and identify with that which is the reverse culture of our people is the beginning of the process of accepting anti-culture, meaning culture that is not acceptable for African people. And so we've had roughly over 100 years of these Greek fraternities where they start off with some African principles, but with Greek philosophies and Greek foundation. And what has happened is that the more the European culture pushes homosexuality on African people, the more these Greek fraternities become Greek and get the brothers participating in homosexual behavior in order to, quote-unquote, cross the burning sands, and get our black women to be participating in lesbian behavior in order to cross the burning sands. And so now these Greek fraternities, particularly over the past 15 years, in black student groups that are now calling themselves Greeks, the Sigmas, the Alphas, the Deltas, the Zetas, these organizations, because they're not founded and rooted in African principles and they don't see themselves as Africans, they see themselves as Greek, which is an enemy homosexual pedophile culture. We're now beginning to see a perfect mirror between the behavior that these fraternities and sororities are participating in and the culture that they derive from, which is the Greek culture.
Right. Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, a lot of people, and we're going to take calls, everybody, I know the lines are lighting up. All you want to get on this at the top of the hour, you know what to do, hit the number one. And those of you who are on the Internet, I appreciate it. We'll have this on www.driveonconnection.com. I will have some announcements probably at the top of the hour that I was not able to give, so we're going to get all that in because I have a lot of information for those who are having events that are coming up. But let's ask this question. Being that so much of this country is based with a Masonic Bible, there are scriptures that say that the angels came unto Lot and them and decided that they wanted men. This is before the Greek culture now. It's before the Greek culture. So we're going to see. This story is predated before the Greek culture. So how do we deal with those who read these Bibles? And then it says that Lot and them wanted to give their daughters, but they said, no, we don't want the daughters. We want the men. So this concept of this is very inundated in the philosophy of the Masonic Bible by King James that most of our people read. How do you address some of these homosexual connotations on one end where angels want to have men, and then on the next level it says, men should lie with women and women and not with men. So how does that dichotomy, you can see the confusion in all this when how this book was written. How do you feel about that with these different versions that are in the Bible with this type of information?
Well, what we need to understand is if we go back to the origins of where the Bible came from, meaning the African story, you didn't have any African stories about homosexuality. They were not part of our spiritual context. So what we've got to understand, once Europeans get into writing their Bibles, which, I mean, King James, the reality of King James, for anybody that wants to do their own history for yourself, King James was so notorious of a pedophile and a homosexual that the Europeans said he was too gay. And this is a gay culture of England and France, which is probably the gayest of all. And they called him Queen James because they said it was a disgrace how the leader of a country could go around molesting little boys and adopting them and keeping them in open public. They're like, okay, you can do that behind closed doors. But he was publicly frolicking with little boys in public. So when you have a notorious homosexual pedophile, King James, who would, if he liked a little boy's sexual advances or the advances he had with a little boy and he liked him sexually, he would give him, make him the Duke of Buckingham or the Earl of Buckingham, like George Villiers, who was a little boy he adopted and then molested. So we're talking about a degenerate culture and a degenerate individual that commissioned the King James Version of the Bible to be written. So there's no there's no surprise that when you read the Bible or any of the modern Bibles that come out of Europe, that you're going to see homosexuality as part of the core of them, because they're written by homosexuals and pedophiles, which comes from Greek culture.
Now, let me ask you this, because, of course, many of us who do study, and many of you on the Dry Bones Connection websites know that we put some pretty hard-to-deny information up. There's many who know that the Greek culture also is not just all white. You know, we've been taught that it's all white, but it's not all white. The Etruscans were there. The Tuscans were there. These were black cultures that were integrating in that. What's your take on us having so much sex with these cultures? Because a lot of times we tend to think that, you know, how did this color game get here? We had to have sex with these people. What's your take on that? Because they could not just be so many different mulattoes all over that area without some black people jumping all over them. What's your take on that?
Man, brother, you asking, but I like this. You're doing the real deal, serious questions. The reality of it is, we read the book called The Destruction of Black Civilization. Anybody that reads that book and really gets it will understand that Dr. Chancellor Williams, peace be upon him, the theme of that book is that integration is the key element in the destruction of black civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's in ancient times or modern times. When black men get so detestably low down and dirty, ignorant and irresponsible, that they don't realize that they should lay down with a black woman when they want intimacy. And when a black woman gets so far out of her mind and has such a lack of black male leadership and power and protection and direction in her life, that she would lower herself to lay down with the white enemy of her race, the ones that have enslaved her people and killed them. And whether that was in ancient times or now, when we make these horrible decisions, we create the room for Europeans to come into our culture and destroy it from within.
Mm-hmm.
In black civilizations and cultures that have fought to keep not only the sexual aspect of integration out, but the cultural influence of Europeans out, these are the cultures and the nations that have lasted the longest. And in each case of African destruction of any civilization, and you can look at it from the modern context of an organization, the general decline in a strong black organization, nation, civilization is this. We either have somebody in a position of leadership or influence who wants to invite either white folks or white culture, meaning somebody wants to invite the white female to the meeting, and now it ain't all black, and the strong black people say, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be around here. And then you got nothing but the integrationists left or the weaker-minded, and the whites always work the hardest to move up to a position of power. Now it's a white organization that no longer serves the interests of black people. The same with nations. Some black leader, mm-hmm. instead of marrying his black queen, decides he wants to be with a white female, and for whatever reason, or allows them to come in and start having influence. They study what they see. They learn the strengths and the weaknesses. They plot and they overthrow. So it's either a physical overthrow through military warfare, and even when it's a military overthrow, there's always preceded by some black person who's too weak to realize that whites are not our friends, inviting them in to get the logistics they need to undermine our civilization. So the answer to your question is, yes, that mixing historically has been disastrous for African people.
Okay, and I want everybody who's listening tonight to do the research on that, because it's not being said in marriage. It's being said through scientifically researching to see that mainly the groups, including the Khazars, who are adamant about not having anybody that's not Khazarian in their midst. And y'all know they are for real. They do not mix. The Khazars will tell you if they are to tread in so many other cultures. Now, where did this come from, everybody? We got to ask this question, because are we diluting ourselves? Because it seems to be a lust I'm going to say a cultic lust, if you don't mind me saying, because I believe the cultic world is involved with this as well, because in order to have these rituals or these spirit shows that many of the people are practicing, are not realizing that they're putting their own selves into the mindset of those who are practicing these type of activities. When let's go into what I would call the priestly Roman Catholic Church. Now, Roman Catholic Church is all over the Caribbean, all over Haiti, which is in the Caribbean, all over South America, Central America. And I have seen many of black people to the point of frenzy to actually go and run into through a car to kiss the Pope, who they know have the most legal cases for pedophilia. I mean, they have lawyers that are so good in pedophilia. They can get paid millions of dollars to do this. Do you see the implication of the occultic world is actually behind a lot of this? These are actually more of and I use masonry because of European standards, but just the power that they induce, would you would say that this would be dark magic?
I would say, and to put it in practical terms, I would say you have Europeans, particularly when you're talking to Khazars, you're talking to small, we call them small hats, the white so-called Jews, the Ashkenazi. What they have done is this. They realize that there are a small number of individuals. However, throughout the history of the world, they've been a very war-mongering group. But when they connected with the Sephardim, one thing they recognized was that the power, the real power and control over the masses of people in this world can be attained better through the control of the minds of people than through weapons. So even though they're the masters of warfare, the major warfare that they commit is on the minds of people who they convince to fight each other and participate in all this sexual wickedness and all this kind of stuff before it actually occurs. They capture the minds first. They have become the premier psychologists on planet Earth. So in answering your question, I would say yes. I look at it from a practical perspective. They are the major psychologists. They know what it takes to undermine the psychology of a culture of people who believe in family. So they say, okay, we've got to disestablish the respect for women. So let's bring in pornography. We've got to disestablish respect for men. Let's bring in feminism. We have to channel their mind on addictions to the perverse. Let's bring in sexual innuendo and let's make larger-than-life figures who are shaking their behinds before the world and get them addicted almost as if it's a drug to sexual degeneracy and put them in almost a trance-like state where black people sit down and watch this sister who paints herself white and shakes her behind across the screen. We call her Beyonce. And our people get mesmerized almost in a trance-like state, a black woman that doesn't even want to look like a black woman. And we sit there watching her half-naked before the world, disrespecting herself and the whole race, in a trance, clapping and screaming. And once you can do that on a massive scale, you can deconstruct family and tangible, real, sound psychology and decency and culture and people, and you can destroy them and make them do whatever you want to do. So as it relates to a worldwide effort to control the minds of people and take them in whatever direction they want to do, that's a reality.
Now, before we get to the top of the hour, we're going to take some more calls, and I appreciate you, man. Just hang in there, because everybody knows Dry Bones. When we get to the next few hours, we start to even ask more questions. Those of you who are out there with your hands up, you will be answered. I want your questions to be very concise and to the point, because we have a lot on the line, and I don't want to give people, so try to consist with your questions up to 1 minute, everybody, because we want to get this brother who we have on the line and get the most information we can. But let's go here. Like I said before, we're at the five-minute mark. I want to give a shout-out to Sister Ayapoa, who is having a Marcus Garvey Festival in Tampa next week. It's on a Saturday. Let me look for her number. Also, I want to give a shout-out to the St. Petersburg family who are having a book fair this Saturday. All you book writers, book accomplished, you will be having a big show up there in St. Petersburg this Saturday. Starts at 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the St. Petersburg area. Look it up online. And also, I want to give a shout-out to PyramidBooks.com. Go to PyramidBooks.com down here in the great state of Florida. We will be having a lot of books. We will be having a book conference with brothers. I have my brother, Brother Haru, who will be having his first book that he wrote. We will be doing it on Wednesday night. And I hope to have Sister Barbara Sorcy, who is over the St. Petersburg Book and Poets up there. We're going to have you guys hopefully on Wednesday nights to get these people who are putting their thoughts together and articulating it into books. So I hope everybody will be very appreciative and tune into that. But like I say, we'll have more information coming on Monday. So stay tuned for that. Back to where we're at, brother. The thing is called War on the Horizon. And we can see that there is war all day long, 24/7. Many of you who read the Masonic Bible know that he said, "I am a God of war." Y'all should ask yourself what is meant by that. Meaning that a supreme strategist. War is a strategy. That's why many of us don't understand why I say play chess. War is a strategy. Casualties are used when necessary. That's why I tell people the gods are stripped. Don't believe the hype. It's called the theater of war. When you got the biggest producers of Hollywood making movies, they can make war look so, all they got to do is shoot up a few things and show you it all day long, and you will fall for it as an all-out assault. But really, what they're doing is to keep the people in fear. Sex is also one of the biggest purveyors of fear. You can make people believe you're going to catch AIDS. You can make people believe that, you know, your woman and these people out here, you know, sex. Because sex creates multiplication, and they don't want us to multiply. If those who read the Masonic Bible, it says that I will deal wisely with them lest they multiply and join onto our enemies. What does that mean? It means that they're looking at how many of us are producing. Brother, would you not say that, and I've said this, and see if you agree with that, the one thing about the homosexual game, and they're rich. I mean, I don't want people to think they're hunted down because they're so rich. The richest couple in America is two white men that live together. Those are the richest couples in America. They are not really worried. It's propaganda, everybody. They're not worried about being propagated against. They got more money. They control Hollywood. They control movies. They control the record industry. It's a game. It's called make us a victim so we'll feel so sad. But wouldn't you say that they are using sex, which is the most powerful tool on the planet, as a crutch to make people want to feel sorry for the gay agenda, which seems to be under attack? When how could it be under attack when they control the media? What's your thoughts on that?
What we're watching is a subset of Zionism. The Zionists they did the same trick in Israel. In Germany, they undermine, and I'm no fan of the Germans. I want to be very clear. I'm not any fan of the Germans. I'm not a fan of any Europeans anywhere on the planet. But the basic reality, the Germans had won World War I pretty much. Nobody knew they had this magnificent navy. They were the richest, but they were one of the wealthiest countries in Europe. They had an excellent relationship. They were the number one business partner with America. They only made 30% of their own food, so their exports provided them all the food they needed. The U.S. was their biggest partner, and they had defeated all the European countries by surprise with this powerful navy. Long story short, the small hats, Zionists said they wanted world control and domination, and they wanted a nation state of their own. So after having tried to overthrow Russia and got put out and got received by the Germans, one of the few nations that in Europe that would take them after they got expelled out of Russia, the Germans accepted them in. Come on in. We'll, you are brothers. They get rich and wealthy, become billionaires. The Germans are living wealthy, and then they backdoor the Germans. They go to the British and say, look, you don't have to lose World War One. We'll bring America into this war, and we'll undermine the Germans, and we'll let you destroy Germany. So the British, instead of settling with the Germans, they looked up one day, and the Germans were like, what is America doing on these shores? Because the small hats in America came into the biggest business partner of America, which was Germany, and just began to do the same thing they do with black people. Oh, the Germans and the Nazis are the worst thing that ever existed. They're the most horrible, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. So the American side went totally against them. They went over and went to war and destroyed them. So when the Germans found out what had happened, they had been backdoored by the small hats. Then the small hats had a second part of the deal, because the deal was, we'll win the war for you if you will give us Palestine, which was a British settlement. And the British said, we'll sign it. So they signed a Balfour Agreement. Then,
that's right.
In order to get justification for that and to get rid of their undesireds, these same Zionists financed Hitler to do an extermination campaign, which wasn't nowhere near 6 million.
No, they financed
to kill their undesirables and to justify saying, look, the world hates the Jews. Oh, my God, look how much victims we are. We can't believe this, and now we have the right to go and take the land and murder all the Arabs and take their Palestine and make it Israel, and everybody in the world owes us because of this horrible thing that happened, which they are the ones that actually orchestrated and financed the whole thing. But they painted themselves as the victims while they were actually the aggressors who had attacked and undermined the whole nation of Germany. Well, the same way they did in that situation, they're doing with this, because it's the same group of individuals. The idea is to undermine the world, to depopulate the world, not just black people. I'm only focused on black people, but they're trying to depopulate the whole world so that they can become the super rich empire, and then the rest of the individuals here will be poor and destitute and basically under their control. So in order to do that, they promote homosexuality, which prevents the birth rate from increasing across all groups. At the same time, they're doing that. They're claiming to be victims when they can't even point to any real situation of oppression or victimization on the planet. They are not the ones that are being assaulted, except where they're going into cultures that don't accept this, and they're forcing it on the cultures, which, of course, results in the cultures resisting, and then they claim that they're being victimized.
Exactly. Now, we're at the top of the hour, everybody. We're going to start getting some calls in now. But let me ask you something, because I know there's a lot of rights up. Not only this brother has a lot of information given, but he has also has been under attack by a lot of people who considered his working for a governmental agency as being a problem. I would say this to all who may be asking these questions who are on the line. Let's be real. We all work in here. My question to everybody is, should we all look at everybody's jobs to see what's going on? Because then we all can be saying we work for something that is connected to something other than what you want to make it to believe it is. You have had a lot of flack. I even seen what's her name from Alaska? Sarah Palin even had a comment on this, and I thought that was quite interesting. I said Sarah Palin chimed in on this, which I believe is pretty good. And when I consider that what was said, they took offense to your having a website that was actually not hate, but just educate. And they took the education as being so serious, because I know truth hurts a lot of people, especially at the top. You work for Homeland Security in a capacity that was not the ones that bust in doors, everybody. It wasn't the bust in door one. It was more on the, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, on the paperwork side of things. no more than somebody who will work in the office. Explain that to me. How did that get so far out of hand where this became an issue?
I'm going to tell you this. It was one of those ridiculous stories. You'll probably laugh when you hear it. When I came out of school, when I told you I joined that organization, I graduated college, couldn't find a job, finally got a job doing something called contract specialist, which was basically I worked for the Department of Navy. I was a civilian. Basically, when they want to go buy something, no matter what, a car, a building, paper, computers, whatever,
that's
they got to write a contract so people can
That's called
it.
Procurement. Hold on, let me stop. It's called procurement,
right.
Everybody who works for an agency. It's called procurement, which I think everybody should know what that means because I even work with procurement. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, so I used to work in procurement. I did so well, I became a manager, and I just started giving them all kind of hit. I don't want to get into that story, but long story short, about 2003, this homosexual thing was getting so overwhelming, I decided I went on my third trip to Kemet with the master teacher, Kemet Nuno, that's El Tour, Ashwaquazi and Sister Mary Rock.
Ashwaquazi, correct.
Right. And I got raised into the living perpendicular to my Tahuti. I got my first collar. And the spirit of it hit me that year, and I said, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to go work for myself. I'm going to do my lectures, and I'm going to write a book. So I left, didn't have no way to make money. I was a real estate agent on the side, so I said, well, maybe this will help me. But the bottom line is I'm going out here for my race. So I left there and went out and wrote the book. By 2005, I published the book. And I had done the lecture, The Feminization of the Black Male, and it was really popular, but, like, one day we were selling them, and then all of a sudden it just stopped right away. It was before we had DVDs. This is when we had video cassettes.
Right.
Long story short, we got to the point we weren't making but maybe $30 a month off selling DVD, one a month. And what we found out was that bootleggers had gotten a hold of it and just started stealing it. Actually, I had given it to some bootleggers in New York. I didn't know they were bootleggers. I didn't know what that was. I never knew that you could be in the Pan-African community and steal from another Pan-African. I did not even have a concept that existed. So we gave it to some brothers. They said, look, talk to us. We'll give them to you cheap. You can sell them to people. We can get this out there. As long as they took it, started duplicating it and making money for themselves. And so people were buying them like crazy, but we weren't getting any of the income. So that was from 2003 to 2009. It got to the point where I was about to lose my house. So I had to go back to work. Well, by 2009, they had created what they called DHS. And that's where procurement was doing most of the procurement in D.C. And they had a subset of that called ICE. It used to be INS, naturalization. They changed it now to Immigration Customs Enforcement. So somebody that I had trained when I was working with the Department of the Navy said they needed somebody. I needed a job. Boom. Got the job, started working there. So everything is going smooth because I got two identities. You know, I'm out here doing what I do, but at the same time, I'm doing that. So then we had our radio. We started a radio program, and I invited a brother on. And when I invited him on, I didn't know the brother. It's like I'm talking to you. So I'm thinking that the brother's halfway cool. So I tell him, hey, man, I work for Homeland Security, but I do this on the side. You know what I'm saying? I work for DHS Immigration, but I'm doing this, and, you know, everything's cool. People all are nervous about stuff, da-da-da. So he gets mad one day on the radio because another brother did a real good program. He goes out and does a radio program on his own station, telling everybody my name, telling them where I work, and telling them to call my job and tell everybody that I work there. So people started listening to him, started calling my job and saying, yeah, do you know that your irritated genie works here at your job? The white folks find out and realize, oh, we got this guy working here. So they didn't say anything to me, but some of the folks I found out from the back door, everybody knew. So I just tried to play it cool. Worked there for 3 years. They were stealing money from black folks. I jumped in the middle of that, tried to prevent that from happening. They said, we got to get this guy out of here. He's an irritated genie, and we stealing money, and he's trying to make it stop, and we stealing money from black folks. So they basically went out and put a big thing in the news saying, look at this horrible guy that we got working here. How could this have possibly happened? And they got me fired, you know. So, I mean,
right.
Crazy story. But the crazy thing is I left my job making – I was like 20-something years old making $85,000 on my way to making $125,000. I left that to go to make nothing, to do it for my race. My own people steal from me, Then when I go back to work there, they say we think he's an agent because he works for DHS, when they're the ones that put me in there by stealing from me. It's ridiculous, you know?
And that's why we did a show last week. Those of you who didn't hear the show called Negrophobia, go on the show, listen to Negrophobia. We all have it. So you can quit fooling yourself that you don't have this, everybody who's listening. Now, we're going to go to the top of the hour. We're going to take some calls. I'm going to start up now. We got about 20 people who got their hands up. Briefly, I'm going to start from here. 3274.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, everybody. Yeah.
Good evening.
Hey, Mr. Ray, how you doing?
Yes, sir, Brother Ray. This is another. Yes, I hear you well. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm at a conference, so I just caught the tail end, but I appreciate what has been said so far about this homosexuality and what they're doing, this New World Order, One World Government. We've been raising the question about the fluoride that's in our water supply, and I'd like to just share it with the listeners, what we're doing here. Maybe you can duplicate it wherever you are. Just Google fluoride, F-L-U-O-R-I-D-E, and learn about it. It's a rat poison. It comes from the byproducts of fertilizer, and it's in our water supply. What it does, it alters your thinking. It's the mind control substance. It docils you down. It dumbs you down. It should answer a lot of our questions of what's happening to our young people and what's happening in America. America's being dumbed down. So what, what we're doing here is we've gotten the facts together, and we are going to approach, well, I've already approached the county commission and asking them, why is it in our water? And we're looking for answers. But we the people have to approach them and hold them accountable for what they don't know or what they do know. Now, we also need to know that fluoride was used, Adolf Hitler used fluoride in the water in World War II in Germany to control the Jews. And if you realize or remember, they got on those trucks and trains and buses and went to the gas chamber and didn't fight. Didn't raise a hand. And that's what they're preparing to do here. And I believe it's the same people then who are doing it now. So it's really on us to do something about what's happening to us in this country. Now, as far as the homosexuality is concerned, they are also putting that in our water supply and in our food supply. Ascertane is what they're doing, they're putting it in. It changes your hormone structure. There was a Professor Davis that discovered it, a black man, who discovered it and presented it to the community. And, of course, he's gone into hiding somewhere because they've been trying to kill him for exposing them for what it is and what it's doing. I don't know if you can remember, they exposed it with a program that they had that they used frogs and turned the male frogs to female. I mean, some of you might remember that.
That's what they're doing,
and that's causing a lot of our issues and a lot of our problems. It's not a natural thing. They have created it. And the last thing I want to say to you is the AIDS virus. We wrote a book my friend and I wrote a book back in 87, exposing the AIDS virus, animals in digestive system, Americans dying slowly. Now, it's out of print now. I do have about 20 copies left, but it's out of print. But in that book, we expose the fact that the hormones in our food, particularly our chickens, were going to cause an imbalance in the hormone structure, which causes male hormones to outnumber female hormones in females and female hormones to outnumber male hormones in the male. So we have a lot of issues that are affecting us, and we need to go back to who we are and where we come from and take a stand against these demons. This is a spiritual warfare. We will win this battle, but we've got to understand and know who it is that we are and the power that we have as a nation of people. So we need to become a nation again, and I'm hoping that through this program and others like it, that we will get a better understanding of what's going on, and that we we will change our condition.
That's right. Hey, brother, hold on. I'll keep you in the mix. So stay with us. Brother, you want to comment on that? I'm going to go to another caller, but you want to give a brief comment on what you just heard, or let me keep going?
I'll just give a real brief comment. In conjunction with the brother saying, which is absolutely correct, they had what they called a gay bomb, which was very simply a mix of chemicals that would be dropped on but they considered enemy combatants, which would be, generally speaking, males in close proximity. Hint, prison system, Iraq, with the Abu Ghraib system, and basically it would make the men hypersexual, and they would put them in situations where men are together and no other women around, which they would hope would spurn homosexual behavior. So this was done by the U.S. federal government and funded to $10 million at Wright-Patterson in Ohio. So we understand that by Pentagon objective, that pushing homosexuality is designed to do it on what they call enemy combatants, which black people in this country are considered enemy combatants since we've been brought
here. There you go. Enemy combatant. Thank you, brother. We're going to keep going, y'all. Make your comment. I'm bringing y'all in. I got you all in order, so stay there. 3274. Okay, wrong.
Hold on, my bad.
You already. Let me get 1656. 1656.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I hear you very well. Go ahead, brother. Make a comment.
Okay. Yes, all praise is due to that great, infinite, eternal black God, Amen. May he bless the life of the irritated genie, because that brother woke me up a while back, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I hope that Amen bless your life, brother. My question is to him. My question to you is, do you think this new biological warfare that they doing in West Africa under the guise of this late Ebola outbreak or whatever, do you think that that's in response to these African countries coming out, standing strong, saying, hey, we not with that playing in boy booty stuff, that Greek nasty jump? Do you think that, can you say that I'm right on that, or you think that that's kind of off? Because I make that association.
My personal opinion, and let me be honest, I don't have anything in writing to prove this, but I would say when you look at the regions that are most hostile towards homosexuality openly from a government president perspective, it is the West African countries and Central Africa. And what we see is the countries that are facing the most sanctions and the where this Ebola is outbreaking and the wars are breaking out are in the very same countries that are most outspoken against homosexuality. So I think you're hitting something right on the head, in my opinion.
All right. Let me go to 7777. Quad 7. Go ahead, brother. 7777, you on the air. Or you drive on.
Hotel, brother. Just enjoying another show, but I really appreciate what the brother had to say, and it's very informative. I wanted to know, is he part of any bridge building with the continent in terms of setting up, you know, either communal or communication lines with some of the brothers and sisters over there so that this knowledge can be disseminated over there much clearly, because I've come across quite a few unaware African brothers and sisters, quite ignorant, who have pretty much bit into the European dreams or concepts of what this new world should be like. So I wonder, is the brother really trying to build bridges with those countries in Africa that are, how would you say, unaware, or this knowledge is not clearly being disseminated? And I'll take the answer off the air.
All right, go ahead, brother.
Excellent question. In 2009, I believe it was, I met with the Dean of Sociology at University of Addis Ababa, gave them a lot of information. No, it might have been a little earlier than that, but it was in the 2000s. I've given information to Kenya. We've been distributing information throughout West Africa. We've been distributing information throughout Central Africa. So what's happening is, and I can't say exactly how, but I can say I think you can read between the lines. When you see these African nations becoming more and more outspoken against homosexuality and more hostile, it's not coming out of nowhere. It's been being fueled, and we've been pushing it out there. But the main issue we're facing, and this is something that we need assistance with, at Warner Horizon, I think we've been very good at the information perspective. The place where we haven't been the best at is economic development, and this is what's happening in Africa, to make it simple. People receive the information, they love the information, but they're hungry because their governments haven't figured out how to be independent and help them eat and build their own economies. Hence, they're more concerned about the financial situation than organizing against this because they don't have the financial condition to do it. So if we could get responsible, non-homosexual, committed Africans from here to start business relationships with the African continent and get these things working, it would be easy to get Africa to completely wipe out this homosexual agenda because they already want to do it.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because me and a brother, Brother Matu, who I'm going to bring on the line next, we had this conversation about us having relationships with Africa, which is going to be a very serious endeavor for the next 5 to 10 years if we don't do this, if we claim we're going to connect with Africa based off the, all your minerals, your coltan. I had Dr. Ngimi on here. All these cell phones work from the Congo called coltan. You can't have it without coltan. What is it that's stopping the Africans on the continent from actually putting together legislational powers to decree, and I'm talking real because all these brothers who talk about they study black law dictionaries and all that, that's actually European law. That's Codex law. That's canon law. But they don't never tell everybody that. That still puts you in Roman law. I don't care what they say. All who talk about being into the sovereignty and all that, you are studying common Roman law. Now, if we're going to study real law, we have to look at what the Africans have initiated in their ancestry. But we need to have clarity on this, on why they do not put a decree to bring back some of us who want to come back on a financial tip. I'm going to ask Brother Himmel, Montu, you out there? Go ahead, ask your question.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead, brother.
How's it going, brother?
Wonderful.
Can
night,
you hear
man.
Me?
Go ahead, I hear you.
Hey, okay, how's it going, brother? Irritated Zing, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself, brother?
You're doing excellent, bro. I just want to say I've watched you a couple of times, brother, and I feel your spirit and your heart on this, bro. And Brother Dry Bones, I noticed probably a couple months ago I had came on the show and was talking about the same thing you were talking about. And I caught a little flat, but, you know, I'm going to stand on it because I've been researching this thing since the 90s. And it's not just that. I mean, in terms of where our young black men are being treated in the streets, on top of that, the interracial dating, that same thing, the single mothers, all these same things I've been looking at, even from the rap music, from government, from powerful organizations that run the world. And I've seen how they systematically destroy people. So each year since the 90s, I would always, this is before internet, you know, internet wasn't that strong. And when I got to this last thing with the homosexual agenda, everything else I said before then, that's okay. When it got to the homosexual agenda, then all of a sudden, and you've probably seen this, you get flagged. Oh, it's personal. You shouldn't care about what somebody's doing at home. I think everybody on the radio would know. I don't care if the dude want to suck a dick. Okay? If he wants to suck a dick, go right ahead. But don't promote the stuff. And don't molest children. We've always had the same problem since, forever in America as we've been here. We always knew about the molested uncle that we had to watch. We already knew one of them was, you know, you always had one or two cousins. But to see it promoted to depopulation, okay, to be promoted as a new fad, that's where we have the problem. And every time we bring this up, people start taking it that we're attacking people. We're not attacking people. We're talking about something that could destroy the family structure and depopulate the world. And to make this thing become, oh, it's like the black movement, or it's just the same, it's not the same. So that's my take on it, brother. I didn't mean to say something that explicit about talking about what a dude do or what they do, but
no, you know how we doing the job bones.
I'm just being honest with it. Yeah, we just got to be real honest. I'm gonna tell you this here, and I'm gonna go. When I seen Clive Davis, and I'm gonna say his name tonight, and he's a very powerful homosexual, the Velvet Mafia. This is part of this thing of the Zionists. You look at all these guys, they're Zionist people. When I see Everybody knew this guy had slept with many black men, from Puffin to the boy from PMD with the Green Eye Bandit. This man is a sicko. When I seen him come out and say, oh, I'm bisexual, he ain't really bisexual, he's gay. I told my wife right now, I said, watch, you're going to see a whole bunch of them come out the closet. After that man said that, it's like, it was like open the world, open the door. So if you could just give a little more insight on a lot of these people in the media, a lot of these professionals, entertainers, because they're under the same agenda too. And I'll leave it like that. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Well, real quickly, I just wanted to mention two pieces. One, on the entertainers, the basic reality is that the prerequisite for making it big in the music industry at this particular time is to be involved in white sex, meaning homosexuality and pedophilia, either or both. So you can either be a pedophile, homosexual, or both. And that's your ticket to large dollar value in the entertainment industry. So the vast majority of black entertainers are involved in it. That's just that simple. As it relates to the other thing he said, I'm going to say something that's not going to be popular. The brother said, and I understand the spirit he was coming in, he said, I don't care what two dudes do it, just don't produce, don't promote it. I'm going to take a slightly different position on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, as an African, as a black man, that I'm the lion. The lion in the kingdom makes the decisions what's acceptable in his kingdom and what ain't. So I do care what they do because it's unacceptable in my kingdom. It don't matter. They don't have those rights. I don't believe in that stuff. We are not in this country in a power position. But what I'm saying is from an intellectual position of where we should be, it don't matter if you want to do it or not. The reality of it is people molest children in the privacy of their own home. I care about that, and you don't have the right to do it. So a man don't have the right to be a man. A woman don't have the right to be a man. It's not acceptable on any level, and the reality of it is we have to get the kind of power where we stop negotiating the position and say it's not acceptable in our community, and we'll enforce that it won't be acceptable in our community, and then they'll stop being able to pull our children into it.
Well, now here we go again, because that's where the topic is, and all you still on there, we got sister. Let me get the sister, a couple sisters on here. I know she's been, hold on, let me get her on here. Go ahead, 8848. 8848, I'm sorry, get yourself in there before we get too deep.
Okay,
go ahead, 8848.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jeannie, for coming through. I have a question in reference to that. Since you've done research in reference to this subject matter, I was wondering if you happen to know anything about children being satanically sacrificed, which involves sexual rituals from the months of November to November 1st to December 31st. And a second thing that I needed to find out if you know anything about presently, like what the Black Pope is in the involvement of you know, this homosexual movement.
Then did you say the Black Pope or the Black Cult?
The Black Pope.
The Black
Pope. The Black Pope.
The Vatican Jesuit. The Vatican
Pope.
Jesuit Black Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the Black Jesuit Black Pope, I don't know that. What I do know is that the Black religious leaders across the board—it's not just Catholic, it's not just the Jesuits, it's not just the Baptists—across the board. If you remember, they did something called faith-based initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
It is out of that faith-based initiative and the post-Million Man March era where the whites said we cannot have another opportunity for this many men to come together because next time they might do something. There was a full effort to create mega churches with homosexual pedophiles to ravage the boys and to take our people off into la-la land. And if you look at the Eddie Longs, the T.D. Jakes, we call them Eddie Wrong and the T.D. Snakes and the rest of these individuals, that is in line with the Black Catholics that are going throughout Africa and all around the world. It's a whole religious infrastructure that has been organized to push sexual abuse and pedophilia on African people worldwide. So that is a reality. The first part of her question, she asked, could you prick my brain a minute? I'm getting a little old now.
It's okay, brother. It's in reference to, since you've been researching in reference to all this, do you happen to know if children are being sacrificed from the months of November 1st to December 31st?
She's talking through
right,
Centennialia.
Okay. This is what I'll say. I've read a lot of information. I have no proof on the specifics of it. This is what I can say for sure. The two biggest dollar-making white market businesses, they call them black markets, we call them white markets, illegal industries in the world right now, are organ trafficking, which black people are the primary victims of, and sexual tourism and sex crimes of children, which means literally there is an organized world effort to travel the world and have sex with children and to bring children from different African countries into Arab nations for sexual pleasure. It's been going on in Zanzibar from the Arabs to Oman for hundreds of years. The European nations are doing it. They're even doing it to their own white children. But specifically, yes, the child sex, rape, and I know for a fact that there's been some cannibalism in it, but in terms of this ritual sacrifice, I've heard a lot of people talking about that being done with the Bohemian Grove stuff and stuff like that, but I don't have any sound proof, I would say, but there's sound proof that they are doing the sexual abuse and it's on purpose, absolutely.
Now, I would think that it's, the proof would be, for those of you who have been listening for a minute, I tell you, we go into the celestial. They are always astrologers. The whole Vatican priesthood of bishops are astrologers. They do things during that time period because of Saturnalia. And Saturn is an attribute of eating his children or sacrificing of the children. And that's why infantry, which is military term, is for war of sacrificial deities that we do not have an understanding to, because it seems to be oblivious that you go to the movies, you watch these movies, 300, you watch these movies, but you don't realize how deep it is embedded into the history. That's why they made 300, about a group of homosexuals who fought to the death for their lovers, because they were explicitly explaining to you the pan-Hellenistic period. Let's go to some more, and we're going to take it up a little more. The Moors. Many of our people seem to have this blind belief system that the Moors had nothing to do with sex trafficking. And, totally ridiculous, because that means you're not studying and you're not objective. That's when it comes to I tell people all the time, when you talk about the Mayat, when I talk about the Mayat, reciprocity, everybody's listening, means that which you have brought upon yourself comes back to you. And I want people to know that we also traffic. Are you aware that the black Saracen Moors, what they would call the Saracens, also were sex traffickers as well? And I always tell people, we kind of take it as, oh, nothing should happen to us because we're on this, in my opinion, you tell me if you agree, I think we kind of, we just grandiose ourselves into believing that nothing black did anything wrong. And from that perspective, which is promoted by liberalism from the Khazar, since they control the NAACP, of course they'll want you to think a lot of this. When we take responsibility for what our own doing was, I take a lot of this to change, because in my opinion, you can tell me if you agree, obviously, if we always consider ourselves to be the first people, wouldn't we have a hand in what was taking place today in the teaching of some of it? I've seen the sex temples in Indonesia, and it's everything under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun, everybody. Every position you think you thought you knew is in the Kama Sutra. Every position of sex that you thought you was aware of is in the temples, right there in Kamsutra, which you go put in sex temples, and you'll see multiple acts of sex that we consider today might be crazy, but in the ancient world, would you say it was crazy? But how do we know the ancient world did not have hermaphrodite sex? How do we know that? Hermaphrodites are on Earth, aren't they?
Well, what I say with that is two things. Let me first answer the last part and then go to the first part. It goes back to, for me, what we said before about integration. When we look at African history in its context of no outside influence and integration with Arabs and Europeans, we do not find any of this freakish sexuality, or even we find wars, but we don't find any of this outlandish, unbearable behavior. But what happens is, and I think you use a perfect example when you said the Moors. We glorify the Moors, and what I'm going to say is not very popular, but, and I do know that the Moors, there were some marvelous accomplishments they made, but the reality of it, for me, when I look at the limited history of the Moors that I know, here's the problem. I don't know if there was a group that was more responsible for helping the Arabs with the enslavement of the East Africa than the Moors. And then I don't know if there was a group that was more involved and supportive of the European destruction of Ouagadou, Shanghai, and
Mali, Timbuktu.
Mali, the great thing, mm-hmm. than the Moors, which is what was the precursor, it even allowed the capacity for the Atlantic slave trade. So when we look at the Mayafa, and really if you consider the Arab slave trade leading into the European as the double Mayafa, we would not likely have been undermined as an entire continent if not for the Moors. So to your point, the Moors involved themselves in every Arab European behavior you could think of, which would include the sex trafficking, which would include rape, which would include enslavement of our own people. I mean, I don't particularly like the Moorish history. There's nothing about the Moors that stands out to me as something positive.
Well, that's where I'm going back into the ancient principles of the Maya. Because of our people's psychotic behavior of loving these particular groups that they have no understanding of, that reciprocity is what is coming back down, in my opinion. I mean, you can't have a group say you wicked and then you ain't acknowledging your part. And see, that seems to be what a problem for our people is, acknowledging it, because that's a cleansing. When you cleanse yourself of acknowledging the truth that, yes, I did my own self in, we could probably change a lot of shit. But unfortunately, we got a group who all over Facebook, El Shabazz Day and Cooper Cooper Khan and Day and Duba Dabba Day. And in reality, they don't want to explain the sex trade that created little boys going into Zanzibar to the Vatican. They don't want to explain that. And so without them explaining that, creates a brain, what Dr. Omar would probably say, psychosomatic, and what's the other sister name, she was on Hidden Covers too, this so-called psychosomatic principle that goes on. Those slave tricks, and I love Brother Surasetti, and let me make this clear, this brother about to have a good event come October. Those of you in the Atlanta area, he's going to have himself, Professor Griff, who's also on. We had him on, always kicking, but Sister Ali, his sister, I think her name is Lay Ali, and Brother Surasetti, the general, who I love his background and I love his energy that he brings with the information. That's going to be what day, brother? What day y'all throwing that down?
October 18th, Saturday, October 18th, from starting at 2 p.m. in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. All you in the ATL. If Ebola don't kill y'all be there. Because I hate to tell y'all this, I get a little crazy about this, brother, because I've been telling people for years, why would you want to live around the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, the center that knows you black folks have been coming there in groves, the center that knows that they can use experimentation. Y'all, if anybody who's not understand where I'm coming from, go just watch the movie Three the Hard Way that was in 1974. With Fred Williams and Jim Kelly and Jim Brown, which shows you they were going to try to kill us off with water. Detroit also going through water problems. Toledo, Ohio going along with water problems. Y'all keep playing with this and think it's a joke. Keep playing with it. Now, back to where we was at, brother. we got a lot of psychologists out there. You with brother Dr. Omar, he's been out on the circuit. I have a problem with psychologists anyway because my particular study showed me psychology is a dramatic mind control mechanism. Anybody think I'm lying? Look up psychology. It's not the same psychology that's in the ancient world. The psychology that they're talking about came out of Germany. What's your take on what all these psychologists and, you know, all this psychoanalytical talk that's going on and not really giving the real history of psychology that came out of Nazi Germany? What's your take on that?
I would say I don't look at it in the absolute. I look at it like this. If we look at psychology in its simplistic form, it's the study of how the thinking of people and what drives the thinking of people. Mm-hmm. And it would be almost the same as the discussion about sex. What I mean by that is, if you talk about sex in the African context, it's nothing wrong with it. But if you talk about sex and use the same exact word, but you're talking about it from a European context, we're talking about two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
From the African perspective, it's a man and a woman. From a European perspective, you can be with a tree. It don't matter, you know. It's just it's different. So when we're talking about psychology, from the African perspective, it's about understanding the mind. But because African people are looking for life, it's understanding how to motivate people based on their thinking and the thinking of people. When you look at it from the European perspective, psychology is about how to manipulate and get out of people and exploit people based on how their thinking works. So to your point, I wouldn't just say psychology because psychology in general is the study of how the mind works. From an African perspective, though, it's completely different than what it is from a European perspective. So when we have these psychologists in our community, the question is, are they genuinely interested in the upliftment of African people? If so, they're going to come out like Dr. Amos Wilson, peace be upon him, who only used what he learned in the European psychology system to explain to us what whites were trying to do to us, to explain to us how to fight it. When you get people who buy into this stuff that we're learning, though, they become extremely dangerous because they are now believing the foundational thinking of the European, which is destructive, and they come back to us with these egotistical mentalities that they know better than us, when sometimes a black person who has not gone to one day of college, but who just can observe and make good sense out of what's going on, is far superior to any psychologist who's gone and learned how to think from white folks and comes back with their PhD.
That's where I'm going with that, brother, because, see, the college community, which I had a chance to see Hidden Colors students. They skipped the Boulé. Dr. Steve Coakley, I'm going to say Brother Coakley, put in the work that was phenomenal on the Boulé. And for what I've seen in Hidden Colors was just a minute mention of a order of blacks that was supposedly undermining us. I think that should be a focus, because if you got an undermining force that looks like you, they're more harder to detect than somebody who does not look like you. I can detect a white guy in the meeting, but I can't detect a black person in the meeting who looks just like me, talk just like me. I can't detect that right away. It takes some time for me to see his ways. These psychologists that he got talking today, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, seem to have an arrogance that they are the only one who is bona fide to talk about what's being taken place. And I listened to some of your conversations that you had, and I'm going to say this. How come it's okay, and he never mentioned that, how come other nations, like the Islamic Republic, Saudi Arabia, who would have killed you immediately upon finding out that you were gay, certain parts of Russia, who Russia told you straight up they didn't want you in the country, but only they did it for the Olympics because they needed the money. So they took the Olympics. I listened to that. What was your take? And those of you who want to hear that is Irritated Genie with Dr. Omar Johnson. It's on YouTube. I got no power over YouTube. It was already there before I even told you about it. So my take on that was kind of interesting. I understand what he was saying about rehabilitation, and I understand that. But how are you going to rehabilitate an army of pedophiles? How is that done? And, of course, he don't have no explanation. I hope he comes on our show. I would love to have him explain that to me, how you going to rehabilitate an army of pedophiles. What's your take on that, brother? Because I don't see how you can rehabilitate an army of pedophiles. Go to the Vatican, Brother Omar, and see if you can rehabilitate the Vatican, and then I might have some understanding. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I just want to say this part here. You know, we appreciate the good work that our brother Umar Johnson is out there doing, but as it relates to this particular discussion, we had a disagreement. And the brother believes that pedophiles can be rehabilitated. This is my position as a black man. And I think it goes directly to your question. Here's my position. And I respect the fact that the brother's in the field of helping people, so he has to believe he can help people. Otherwise, you can't be in the field to help people. But the reality of it is, as an African black man, looking at this from my own center, it is not the question, can a pedophile be rehabilitated for me? Because I'm not in the business of saving the perpetrator. I'm in the business of representing the victim. So as African people, we've been victimized by Europeans. I'm not interested in helping Europeans become less racist. I want to take power so that they can't do any harm to us anymore. Same way with a pedophile. I don't care if they could be rehabilitated. They shouldn't get the chance to be rehabilitated because it should be a crime that should be capitally punishable. Because you can never give that child back what you took from them when you sexually abuse them. So I don't care. First of all, it's never been proven, and it can't happen. I don't even want to have a debate on that because nobody's ever proven it until it's been proven that they can be rehabilitated. And who wants to take that? Who's going to send their child to prove that the pedophile has been rehabilitated anyway? Nobody. So it doesn't make any sense. But I'm saying, what, from my perspective, I'm not the kind of man who thinks that someone who raped the child deserves rehabilitation. The child needs rehabilitation because the child is the one that's the victim. I believe in using my resources, time, and my energy to help the victim of the crime, and I believe in punishing the perpetrator. And I don't think that, again, from a black psychological perspective, I don't see how anybody can disagree with that or dispute that.
Now, to me, and I'm going to say this, for those of you who believe in your King James Masonic Bible, just look up that era where under the law of the Talmudic law, there is no retribution but death. I don't know if y'all understand why they kill. It's called Sharia law. You see, again, everybody who's listening, you have a tendency to only want to handpick what you want to hear. But you always say, well, why does Bible? The Bible condemns just as much as Islam in that so-called Bible. Maybe you need to read the book of Leviticus, the whole law, the 610 laws that's in there, 6 plus 1, you know, 613 laws, 6 plus 1 plus 3 plus 4. That's why you get the Ten Commandments that they easily put together for you, but it covers the 613 laws that's in that book, which some of us don't even know that exists. But there is a retribution. I didn't put it in there. They put it in there. So we need to be aware of that. Let me ask something, brother. And we're going to take this to, and I hope you're able, we're at the top of the hour, everybody. There's a lot of callers on here. There's a lot of listeners. Appreciate y'all listening. I don't know if the brother can go past 11. He may not. So if we don't, we'd ask you to stay
I
on.
I will, but we have to go real quick with the question. One question, quick question and answer. I'll be willing to
okay.
do that.
Okay, here we go now. Let me get one now right out here. Let me get my sister. Let me get, I got a new caller. I got 880085. I don't know what's, that's area code 407. 407-0085. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
I'm wonderful, brother.
How you doing? I contacted the Irritated Genie on Facebook, I think yesterday, told him to come down south to Orlando. I'm the young warrior who wants you to get you down here, brother. I know you don't have much time. And I was telling you, I'm new to the game, so I don't know how I'm gonna do it. But I know I need you to get you down here ASAP. Too many brothers down here wearing skirts. Too many people down here thinking it's a game. So I just want to get some. I just want to touch base with you on a personal level, and how we can build down here. And I also heard that the day or whatever it was that you and Brother Umar, he just sounded a little nervous. You know what I'm saying? He was all loud and nervous. It didn't sound like I don't know. It just sounded strange to me a little bit, and I agree with you 100%. Touching on children should be condemned by any and every so-called holy book and any law. So, you know, and it's more difficult to save ourselves than it is to save them. So, but I will be calling in and listening in, and I want to get your input.
Also, brother, make sure you go to the Marcus Garvey festival they got in Tampa, which is near you. Should be next week Saturday, so look for it. It should be all over the place. Sister Iapoa, we'll have more information on that. Thank you, brother, for that call. Go ahead, brother. You want to make a comment on that?
Yeah, real quick, I would say, first of all, brother, we will come down there. Let's work it out. We'll come down there. We'll work with you and make it real successful and get some movement going down there. I would please, excuse me, I got a little cold. Brothers and sisters, please, go to waronthehorizon.com and go to our store, and there's two DVDs that I really think that you'll enjoy. One is called The Feminization of the Black Male Reloaded. That is our new DVD about the condition that we're facing worldwide, and it gets into the AIDS, it gets into the homosexual agenda. That is something you really got to get. Again, it's called The Feminization of the Black Male Reloaded. You can either get it through a direct download that you can, within 24 hours, we'll send you an email, you download it right to your computer, boom, you got it, or we'll send it through you to the mail. And the second one is a brand new one we did about spirituality called Journey to Amen. And you can get that one electronic download, or you can get that sent through the mail. You go to the warnerhorizon.com and go to the store. That effeminization of the black male reloaded is critical. Every African on the planet should see that, and we want you to get that because we think it's extremely valuable. So, brother, we're going to be in Orlando soon. Stay in touch with us. Let us know what we can do to make it happen. We'll be there.
Go ahead, sister. I'll hear you.
I would like to add on that I had the pleasure of watching for the effeminization of a black male, and I did what he just said. And also, I just want to know if you can expand on the Obama agenda with the homosexuality. That CD, I know that was a pretty not compared to effeminization of a black male, but if you could just speak on our government agenda on homosexuality is something that I would love for you to expand on. And I just want to thank you for coming on, because I know that you have a cold, but some raw honey and some green tea.
I hear him coughing. Mm-hmm. I hear him coughing. I feel bad for him, too. I was like, he's coughing. I hope you're okay. But let me everybody know, this is Sister Akila. Sister Akila actually set this show up. She stayed in contact. She met the brother in Atlanta. She had a very good positive vibe. She, of course, called me. Said he's the brother we got to listen to. I said, sure, let's hear him. And I agree with her that it's very imperative that we start to look at some of these incidents that happened. And this sister here got, I think, some more things going on. Look for True Revelation. It's coming out soon. We got True Revelation. That will be something that everybody needs to start looking into from her and from myself. We will be having something going on soon. But expand about this Obama thing, because I've been telling people for quite some time. Obama, let's just honest. Those of you who don't know, Larry Sinclair, I've shown this many times to those of you who have been to the meetings. Yeah, I thought I was crazy, of course. Larry Sinclair, Reverend Wright, all that church member stuff. One of the members was thrown out of the doggone window, who was actually going to tell and testify on some of the activities that our so-called CEO of the corporation is under. Give us a little insight of what you found out, brother.
Yeah, basically, to put it in a nutshell, one of the main purposes of putting Obama in office was to push the homosexual agenda on Africa and black people in America. They used the same principle they used with Lucius Septimius Severus under the Roman Empire. When they wanted to go into North Africa and really slaughter the North Africans, they realized they would face a lot more resistance if it was a white Roman emperor. So the first mulatto Roman emperor of Rome was Lucius Septimius Severus, who they put in office so that they could let the guard down of the black people in North Africa, which happened. We got all excited about this mulatto, and he came in and was more vicious in slaughtering North Africans than any Roman Empire emperor before him, probably. Very similar to the situation. Here you have a white sex offender, funny boy. They put him in office. He's a nobody in politics. They just put him in there so that it would lower the guard of brothers and sisters in Africa so that he could push war, turmoil, and genocide in Africa and spread homosexuality in Africa and on black people in America, and our resistance would not be the same to him as it would if it was a white individual trying to do that. So that was why he's in office, and that's exactly what he's doing.
My sentiments agreed. I said that, brother, from the day he got elected. Many of my friends that are even around said, no, he is an example for our kids. And I said, why would you believe that somebody who is fundamentally funded by the Khazars, who money is proven by the Khazars, will actually be in our best interest? So this is the type of talk we got. But go ahead, sister. You want to say something else?
I was also just wanted to, I know you touched a little bit about the effeminization of a black male, but what I learned so much about it is you take it from the actual beginning of the black race being introduced to homosexuality by the Europeans and the Greeks, and then you take it all the way to the solution. If I know it's getting to the top of the hour, can you just give the listeners a little bit more information about the feminization of a black male, and then also tell us about your book? I know the book you wrote it a while back, but I haven't had a chance to read it. But can we also buy the book on your website? And if you can just tell us a little bit about the book that you wrote.
Yes. The book is called War on the Horizon, Black Resistance to the White Sex Assault. And basically, it's a compilation of research, personal analysis, community work, and race war, really, when it boils down to analysis of what the threat to black survival in the 21st century is. It's written, what I did with this book, I said, one thing I never liked was a book that was hard to read. And to me, it is more important that people can understand what's being said than the author looks like they're intelligent. So I wrote this book in very simple language to explain to black people what has happened in the past, what is happening currently, and where it's all going, and what we must do to fight it and resist it. And one of the main things we have to do, like any problem, you have to find the source of it. The source of the effeminization of the black male and the sexualization, sexual dysfunction in the black community is pedophilia. The sexual abuse of children is the main ingredient in the Europeans' ability to create sexual confusion and destroy families through sexual insanity in the black world. So as part of the basic premise of fighting white supremacy and fighting for black survival, we have to make it a principle and a policy to protect black children from sexual abuse. So here's just a few of the, and I don't have time to go through everything, but just talking about some of the practical solutions we give. One, how do you start the process of preventing sexual abuse? First, when your man and woman get together, you need to discuss this and agree that when you have a child, that your job, your main gift to your child in life is to prevent them from being sexually abused. Secondly, that means based on the environment we're in now, you have to absolutely pick only a few people that you can trust your children in the presence of without you being there. Secondly, the family needs to get together, and the families need to say, okay, look, we're going to weed the sexual abuse out of our community, which means when we have our family reunion, there's going to be a time when the strongest men and women, only the strong, are going to go sit with the children and sit down with them and say, listen, this is what sexual abuse is. It's wrong. If anybody touches you or has touched you, here are the four adults that you can come and tell, and we'll stop it from happening. And you don't worry how we're going to do it. You just make sure you tell us so that it won't happen to you or anybody else again. And that become a yearly thing. So that what happens is the children know that it's wrong. They know that they can't do it to each other because one of the children is going to tell on them. And the adults that are involved in that are going to have to figure out whether they're going to stop coming to the pavilion or whether they're going to, you know, what their decision is going to make, because we begin the process of weeding this out. And then there have to be people in the family whose job it is, if you have a family strong enough for this, once it's been proven that an accusation is true of sexual abuse of an adult on a child, that they fix the problem. If that means calling the police, and then that's fine. If it doesn't mean calling the police, that's fine. However it gets done, as long as it's resolved, that's what we have to begin the process of doing.
And I think that's something that needs to be really talked about, because how many of us actually explain to our kids, our nieces, our nephews, of inappropriate touching from any adult? We need to have this conversation, y'all, with our children immediately, not next week. Not next month, probably tomorrow, if those of you have listened to this show, because this is something that we cannot take and wait on, because we do not know what's in the minds of some of our own relatives because of this thing that's what happened to. We have no idea. We don't know. You know, we trust some of our own, and they can also play, because this thing was so pervasive throughout the world, it has touched on everybody. I mean, we don't care if you're from the Philippines. Many of y'all, I'm going to say this, I'm going to get on this for real. Many of y'all who got some, you know, we take some trips. We go to these places. Many of y'all know, y'all, we going to these islands like Dominican Republic. We going to Haiti. We going to some of these Puerto Rico to have sex. Now, many of us who are normal heterosexuals have it with women. But there are millions who go for specifically for children. Specifically, they are, and these countries are purveyors of their own wretchedness to their own people, because they set this up. They set it up for these countries to come in and have sex with their children by putting the women up to letting their children be used because of poor economic conditions. This is all created. Economics create a very destabilization in your mind when you don't have money. You become very, very different. This is part of brainwashing. They know. When you are destitute, you take on more pervasive means of survival, and that you'll do anything. That's why it's so easy for a woman to give it up, because she knows that's the one powerful mechanism on the planet Earth that everybody will pay for. So this is what they're doing, everybody. I want to ask you another question. Now, you got a website, and you got people. Now, you in Atlanta. I believe you're in Atlanta or you're in D.C.? Which one you at?
D.C.
Okay, you're in D.C. Even though that's the non-federal zone, that's another story in itself. Hope we can come on to have a talk about that, because that's where all the kinky people at is in the D.C., sitting in the Congress and so forth. But let's go into this Atlanta thing. A lot of these people are moving to Atlanta. We got mega preachers moving in. We got I'm starting to see, and I brought this up, I don't want to make you have a comment that's harsh or anything, but I've seen people like Ray Hagen have a pastor come who was homosexual to speak. I didn't understand it. I can't make a comment on it, everybody, so I won't make no judgment until I was to actually hear from him. I'm starting to see pictures with different people who are out there with these people that are, like, saying some bizarre things. I don't care if you're on Hidden Colors. I don't care if you're making movies. That never impressed me anyway. I tell anybody, if you believe in celebrities, you already fool. If a celebrity is your main source of motivating yourself, you are already deceived. If you needed a celebrity, everybody who's listening, to make you feel like somebody, then you are deceived already. It's going to be very hard for you to come out of this. But if you believe in self, know thyself, the principle, and know that others that believe in themselves, we don't need people who are celebrities to come motivate, because celebrities don't never stay in the neighborhood. They leave and go back to their own homes. But I've seen pictures now, and I don't want to get into too many names, but y'all can understand where I just came from. What's this trend that you see and I see going on where people are actually connecting with these purveyors of this system? And why would you think they would align themselves with these with this? What will be and you don't have to name names, but just give us maybe a generalization. Why you think, is it money because they're so lucrative and rich and they need money? What you think about that?
I'm a name namer, so if that's a problem, I won't do it. But if you don't have a problem, I'll name names.
We know what you got to do, brother. This show is dry bone, but I already gave the I already gave you the platform because it's on your website.
Okay. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, good example. And let me say it like this, just to get directly to the answer to the question. And this is why we really start taking a more aggressive approach. The homosexuals, I think of it like roaches. Roaches come in through some place in the house, and that's the place that's infested first. Then they generally move to the kitchen and eat up in the kitchen. Then before you know it, they're all over the house, and it's infested. Homosexuals are like that, too. They came in through the church, which is the only place they could hide, in the choir, and they got into the arts. Then they got into being waiters and waitresses. That was where their main occupation. But now in the black community, they have completely infested entertainment, arts, culture, music, real estate, the job market, the economy. Everything has been taken. The last thing that exists where homosexuals have not totally taken full control over just so happens to be the thing that protects African culture, which is the so-called Pan-African Black Nationalist Community. It is the community whose very existence is predicated on preserving the cultural identity of African people, which has generally been a very militant, strong community because the very nature of being an African in a world that's hostile towards that which is African is revolutionary in and of itself. So it takes a strong, resilient person who has to be willing to lose favor with their family because they no longer accept their enemy's gods, blah, 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 blah. They want to have an African name. They want to have an African identity. So be rebellious and be willing to take the ridicule that they get from family and friends for being an African in an un-African world. So this community now is under full siege from the homosexual community. And basically what's happening is either there's a multitude of things that they all happen at the same time. You have a group of homosexuals like Naeem Akbar, Greg Kumasi Carr, who is the head of the African-American History Department at Howard University, probably the most prestigious HBCU in the country. You got a lot of prominent homosexuals who are in positions of power in Pan-African community. And they're doing it because they're trying to push in this whole, or at least make it acceptable within the context of Africanness because of what they do. So they want it to be acceptable because of who and what they are. But then the white homosexual community wants to undermine the last bastion of intellectual resistance that they have in the black community because the strongest community in the world against homosexuality is the black community. What I mean by that is it does not matter the religion and it does not matter the country. The U.S., the strongest community against homosexuality is the black community, even as crazy as we are today. If you go to Arab countries, the strongest community in the Arab nations against homosexuality is the Africans that live in Arabia. The African continent is the continent most staunchly against homosexuality. So it doesn't matter where you go in the world. The black people are the most against it. Well, the element of the black community that is holding the vanguard against is the Pan-African community that holds the culture. So they are now the whites, the black homosexuals, the interest groups of the liberals are trying to, and the eugenicists, which are the ones that are the small hats that are driving this homosexual culture for the purpose of depopulation, all of them now are zeroing in and targeting the Pan-African community because we're the last ones that take hard, vicious, strong, stern stances against it because it's against our culture and the very essence of the people that we are. It's our identity. And so they're coming in, so they'll get a guy like Ray Hagan. And I can't say exactly how it happens. I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I'm not sitting at the table. But I know he hooks up with Colton Pearson, who openly supports the pedophile Eddie Long. How does a preacher openly support a pedophile? Which means if he openly supports a pedophile, he's supporting pedophilia. But Ray Hagans is supposed to be a Pan-African, but he's not. He's an integrationist. But under the guise of Pan-Africanism, he's inviting this pro-pedophile into his congregation to talk to Pan-Africanists, which means what? Breaking down the psyche of the last vanguard of of blackness, which is the Pan-African community. And so they're doing it either for money, for prestige, for opportunities, or maybe some of them are homosexual.
Yeah, because that's something that has to be discussed. For those of you who are always saying that, you know, you have to be analytical, everybody. You do not take everything that somebody says because you liked how they sound. You have to ask questions, y'all. Why is this happening? Why is the purveyors of this getting more prestige and becoming more stronger? I mean, there was no reason for my understanding for all this going on, but I would love to hear him. And I make that decree out to those because he might be listening online. Come on the show. Let's hear this because people who are watching this are wondering what the hell is going on. Why is it that the Greek philosophy is so permeated in the minds of our people through college and so forth? We're almost at the midway session, brother. I don't know if we want to go any further, but everybody, this brother here has his own website, like I said, War on Horizon. I want y'all to go on there, take a look at it, be objective. He's somebody I think we should be, listen to. And you know my position. Don't just believe him. Study to make sure he ain't telling you a lie. If he ain't telling you a lie, then he's a purveyor of truth. If he's a purveyor of truth, then you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Ain't that what you read in your Masonic Bibles? So let that be known. Brother, let me ask you something. You're in D.C. A lot of things are going on there. It seems that in that particular area of the country, you have all different groups of blacks. Africans are there from Ethiopia and Nigeria and stuff. Do you see them actually coming on board with what you're saying, or you got more, and I say this because I always tell people I think division starts within. You see a more of a, where's your audience? Is it universal, or you got a certain segment of us? How would you gauge the response from the different groups?
To me, my personal experience has been that the Africans here in America that I've experienced are not Pan-African minded. They're glad to be in America and they want to Americanize, so they would not be as energetic. The African brothers and sisters that live on the continent are receiving it much, much stronger. I mean, they love the message. If they had a way to make it economically viable to take this, they'd run with it. So that's been pretty much my experience that I'll be honest with you, let me be straight up. Pan-African community in America, as far as I'm concerned, almost doesn't exist on this issue because they're scared to take a position. They've been completely compromised. Either they don't understand how big of a problem, either they're stuck in a time warp of the 1960s and 70s, and they just don't understand how important it is to take a position on this, or they have family members that are homosexual and they've given up, they don't have the strength anymore to fight, so they're caving in, or they're involved in a misbehavior. So, or lastly, they've become a Christianized Pan-African community. They don't fight no more. We don't have a Pan-Africanist that used to, you know, go out to the police and say, we're not going to let you abuse the people in the street and be active. We got a group of passive, resistant kind of Pan-African that are more like We Shall Overcome was in Real Race Men and Women of the Garveyite and Carlos Cook site. So, really, honestly, the strongest community in supporting what we're doing is not Pan-African. It's everyday brothers and sisters who are strong fighters.
Right. I always said this, and I'm saying this to everybody listening before we go off the air. You have to ask yourself, I did a little thing the other day. I said there's three types of black people. I named all three of them. I don't want to go through that again. It's very long. Y'all remember the show, go on there and listen to it. It was called Negrophobia. Y'all realize what this brother sounds like. He's the number one for those of you who remember. That number one category was the most feared category from both the number two and three category. And we have to ask yourself, what category are you really in, black people? Well, yeah. You know, I don't mind anything because, you know, there's a time and a season for everything. And I don't want to make everybody seem like we just heavy on everything we talk about on this show. But you have to take a stand, y'all. Do you see what's going on across this country? This brother in D.C., where is the regime of the New World Order Corporation, military wing of the whole thing. And he sees what's going on up in D.C., blacks in D.C. have no representation, am I right, brother? No representation whatsoever.
None at all.
None at all. Yet they're happy. You have to ask yourself that. Yet they're happy. Eleanor Holmes has been in a position of nothingness. How do you have a position when you have nothingness? That's another joke. But right now, we are under attack. War is on the horizon, and I'm going to take that back. War is here. It ain't even on the horizon
anymore.
That's
right.
It's here, y'all. The horizon finished. It's already on you. And until you realize that you're at war, you will never win this war until you know that you are in a war. And because you don't see the physical bullets every day, you have taken it for granted. The brother said earlier, it's a war on your mind. Before I cut the show loose, brother, give us some of your last takes on what you'll be doing soon, how people can contact you. I believe your next event is in October. If it's not, let us know, and so we can get brothers on the system on the line who can contact you.
Okay, fantastic. Anybody that wants to contact our organization, the fastest way is, email us at liberation@waronthehorizon.com. Again, that's email liberation@waronthehorizon.com. We have a website, www.waronthehorizon.com. You enter the website. If you go to the events page, you can see all of the events that we have coming up. The next event we actually have is September 28th. It'll be in Harlem, New York at the National Black Theater. It'll be Brother Malinu Baruti, the premier scholar of the 21st century. The host is Sister Zaza Ali. It's being thrown by Brother King Simon. It's also going to be Professor Griff and myself, and we're doing a lecture series, a whole day dedicated to saving our children from the sixth sexual assault on our children. So that's September 28th. That's a Sunday. Doors open at 2 p.m. at the National Black Theater in Harlem. We also, after that, is a big, big event we have in Atlanta, the mecca of white sex and homosexual agenda. It's Saturday, October 18th. Doors open at 2 o'clock there as well as at 595 Event Center. It's in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be the same lineup as before, Baba Malinu Baruti, Professor Griff, Sister Zaza Ali, myself and General Sarah Sudensetti, and we'll all be doing there. It's a warriors conference, and we're talking about how we got to organize ourselves to fight because this is a war. Then we'll also be down in Dallas. I'm sorry.
We're going to see one day. I hope we get you in the great Sunshine State and down here in Miami, up there in Fort Lauderdale. We got a lot of good brothers and sisters here. Movement for Change, y'all hearing this. We need to get all perspectives of everything. I know we kind of hear one group, but we need to hear everybody. But I want to go out, brother, as we leave. I've seen the movie The Purge, everybody, The Purge Anarchy, and a very symbolic movie, very allegoric. But the resistance was coming from a group that you wouldn't even think it would come from. It came from within us. The resistance is in you, everybody. You have to make the change. The brother can do all the talking. He can show you. But even if he shows you, and even if he demonstrates it, you still have to do your work. And so tonight, I appreciate my brother, Irritated Genie. I'm glad you made people irritated. I think that's what Frederick Douglass say, irritate. That's what you did tonight. And I appreciate you. Could you please let Sir Sebi know I want him on this. If he can come on, if you can help me get him on the air, I would appreciate that as well. I have a great respect for that brother's research. And anything we can do to Dry Bones Connection, drop us a link. We'll put it on the website. That's www.drybonesconnection.com. Y'all take a look at it. Look at our archives. We have always been talking about this for quite a long time, everybody. You know we've been in the game for quite a long time. All you know me. We ain't just started this lately. We've been in the big school. So, again, brother, keep us in touch. Stay with us.
If I could, I'd like to say one more thing. All right, thank you, brother. If you go to warnerhorizon.com, you can go to our store. I would really encourage people. Two DVDs I think were really, this audience would really like. The first one, Effeminization of the Black Male Reloaded. You can go to our store, you can order that. And also, Journey to Amen. I think those are two DVDs. That's a brand new one. And I think it's something that will be very enriching for the audience. And I'd like to thank you for inviting us to the program. Really appreciate the invitation from you, brother and sister. And look forward to talking to you all again.
You were saying something about Texas. You're going to be in Texas as well?
Yeah, we're going to be in Texas in October 25th. We're going to be down in Dallas, Texas. And so if you go to the events page on warnerhorizon.com and go to the events page, then you can see all of the events as we get the flyers, price, and everything.
All right. That's been wonderful. Y'all go on the website, y'all. And like I say, Dry Bones Connection, we just connect y'all. That's all we do. Be one big mass. The bones will come together, and they are going to come together. It may take some time, but guess what? The blowing is happening, and we are making it happen. Brother, keep in touch with us, please. Let us know what's going on with you, and hopefully we can participate in some of the activities that you have going on, especially that one you have going on in Atlanta. I wouldn't mind checking out myself.
Absolutely.
Now, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Again, y'all call. Now, for those of you, I'm about to end this show, but I'm going to make my last few comments, and I'm going to make this clear to everybody. Some of the things that we watch going on in these churches, I know y'all know Reverend Stevie and Reverend Jump So Hard. You know, you have to ask yourself these questions. How long are y'all going to watch it? How long are you going to be a participant in the foolishness? Those of you who are into the Catholic churches, how long are you going to watch your kids go to being an altar boy and wondering what's really happening? That's on y'all. That's parenting. If you don't know where your kids are really being administered and who is really giving them the information, you need to know it. Quit taking people at face value because they look good or they got a title or they sound prestigious. These are the main ones. If you go see the Purge, the most horrific part was the rich people. They had this thing down packed of how they was killing. And so because you have been fooled to believe that everybody who's this good is gold, you will give your kids over to them. So you ask yourself that question. That goes for people who have boyfriends, who are messing with your daughters, and you want that man money so bad that you let him mess with your daughter. That's on you. That's you. Fathers who mess with their daughters. What kind of man are you? Family members who prey on each other. What kind of people are you? That you would prey on your own family, weaken your own family. This is what brings strength to a family. So when you're weak, these type of things happen. So remember, we'll be coming back at you Monday. We'll have another show. We'll be next week, we'll be bringing on our book club people. I got Brother Haru, who will be bringing out his new book. I hope to have our sister on here, and we will be having books that we will be promoting with Pyramid Books. And again, thank you for listening to the Dry Bones Connection. What's up, girl?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Dry Bones.
Yes, sir, baby.
That was a good show.
Ooh, that was a hell of a show, wasn't it?
Yes, because he, you know, he knows a lot and he's in his research. But, you know, when it comes down to the thing about homosexuality, there's so many factors involved in it, too, because...
Yeah, we'll bring that more out, because yeah, that's just one factor. You are absolutely correct. There's so much more that...
Yeah, because, I mean, there are those men that, yeah, that have been sexually abused when they were little by an adult. Then you have the ones that have been drinking soy milk, who's... And their hormones have what?
Well, you heard me say that the food, brother said the food is involved. All kind of bad factors are involved. We don't know. It's too much stuff to really pinpoint the whole thing. We're just talking about the ones that come out saying they're gay. Now, again, I'm like this: if he wouldn't bother the young people, we wouldn't have a problem. Really, it's really the young people that they attack. It's a preying system. We're talking about the ones that prey on the young people. They prey on these people.
Yeah, and they prey on the children as well.
Yeah, they prey on them. They prey.
You
they
know?
Pretend, and they pretend very well that they love everybody, and then all of a sudden they're right at them. They knocking them out. They're doing mean things. So
yeah,
that's
they have, I'm going to see somebody posted that in Facebook about a book that's going to be generating in the school system, and it has to do about this little boy and his uncle. The next thing you know, it shows the uncle and the little boy in bed. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting to the point where they're putting it in the minds of the young people, and that'll make them not want to have women. We're not jumping on it because we hate. It's a plan to make them hate women so they won't have sex, and then that's easy birth control.
Yeah, and like here in Miami, I mean, you should know, you live here, and you go. I never go to Miami Beach unless I have to go to an event, but over there it's disgusting. You know, the women are bisexual, and the man will sit there, look at these two women, you know, getting it on, and then he takes them home, you know, he takes them to a hotel, home, whatever, after they're all drunk, whatever, but that's never had, you know, that started off like in the disco era, you know.
Well, yeah. Did you hear me say, I said hermaphrodite. They're hermaphrodites on earth. They have both genitals. And see, that's something that we don't talk about either. But that's it's too much to talk about in two hours. See what I'm saying? I only try to get as much as I can in 2 hours. I can't get, but that's like a 7-8 hour discussion. Shit.
Yeah. No, and there's also, like, for instance, in Brazil, they have a lot of she-males.
Yeah, she-males are everywhere. They love them, too. Men love them. Men love them.
That's another issue right here.
Another issue. That's right.
And then you have, within the homosexual community, you have those that are called the bears, which is men that are very hairy. Yeah, the men that are attracted to extremely hairy men, and they're called bears.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally disgusting. And, well, you know, the least one, that you would think that they're not going that route, they're going that route. So that's why I keep my men.
I ain't going that route, but let you know that straight up. We ain't going that route. I'm going to tell you like this, and the way I tell people, why would you want to fuck a man ass and a woman take it in the ass, women take it in the pussy, women take it in the mouth? You got three places to some man's two. Give me a break. It's already the ratio is better with you guys than it could be with men. So let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, call me at work. I'm going to bed. I got to get up early.
Yeah, me too. I have to go to work.
Oh, where are you working at?
No, I'm working with this gentleman up in Homestead.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, he's paying me under the table.
That's good. Under the table is better than anything.
All right.
Well, call me around about 10.
Okay, then.
Okay, sounds good.
All righty, then. Bye.